This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Welcome to our podcast. We are super, super honored and excited that you joined us today. And we are ready for a great conversation.
Yes. So, you know, every time we ask and we wait and we ask and we wait, we say, what do you guys want to hear from us? Well, we did that. And Miss Gina Ellis, as some of you may remember our most recent podcast, Gina Ellis was one of our guests and she talked to us about the word just escaped me. The boards. She talked to us about the boards.
Vision boards.
Vision boards. I'm like, what in the world? So she talked to us about vision boards. And she started listening to our podcast. And she emailed us. And she gave us some great topic thoughts. So here we are today. Thank you, Gina Ellis, for messaging us.
And she was a great guest, too. So I enjoyed that quite a bit. A lot, rather.
She had some great insight, and I feel like she definitely has an anointing to really speak about what she's speaking with, because God has just started wooing me back in and talking to me and giving me some verses for this year. Thank you, Lord.
Nice.
Finally, here we are in February. So I think Gina's anointing definitely helped with that and started opening my mind to some new things. So anyway, today, as some of you may have picked up, or maybe you haven't, maybe you don't know Jen. Well, you may probably don't know her as well as I do, but Jen, my friend, is a super duper feeler.
Well, it's I will explain that in a moment.
Yes. So she feels in big ways. Yeah. I'm a feeler, but not in the same realm that Jen's in. But I do, however, and you have heard me probably say in previous podcasts that I kind of get bluesy in the winter. Just the brown, the no sun, the cold, the being indoors, not by a body of water, just get me bluesy. And I just am not myself. I'm a night owl, but in the wintertime, when it comes to the kids' bedtime, I'm ready to go to bed with them. I'm like, what's the point of staying up? So she wanted to check in and about that and see how I was doing and check in with how Jen and I come out of our funks, what we do in seasons where we're feeling less than our best, and how we just, you know, keep going and through these hard times. So I'm okay, folks, in case you were wondering, in case I left you on a cliffhanger. I am okay. The sun is actually hitting me through a big glass window today. So I'm super thankful. Was thanking God before we got on here for the sun today. It's very cold, however. Very cold. So I'm not sitting in the sun, but I am okay. I am very excited for this winter season to come to a close.
Man, you and me both. You and me both.
That's a groundhog. Yesterday saw his shadow, though. I don't know if any of you heard that, but the dumb groundhog on Groundhog Day saw a shadow, and that means six more weeks of winter.
What is he, Poxitani Phil or something like that, or however you say his name?
Right. I don't necessarily believe in this groundhog. Yeah. I think when we hit February, we probably have six more weeks of winter anyhow. Let's be real.
Right. Weird side note, I had a friend who, and this is so off topic, I had a friend who would have a Groundhog Day party every year. And that was a really nice way to like pep up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the middle of the winter blues, what have you. And it was so much fun. People would just dress up and just, you know, I don't know, try to bring some levity and fun into the cold of winter and the whole thing. But anyway.
Well, that's actually not far off topic, because the topic today is what we do to pull ourselves out of these funks in these times where maybe it's depression, maybe it's seasonal depression, maybe you're just bluesy and in a funk.
Yeah.
And what that looks like, things you can do maybe to fill yourself up and maybe not get to your best self, but just feel a little better and just have the ability to keep going. So Jen, I would love to talk about you, or love for you to share with the audience just a little bit about who you are and how you feel, because I'm sure there's people out there with big feelings like yourself, and how that just, you manage that day to day.
Oh my gosh. Well, sometimes I don't manage well. I'm just going to admit that on the
Amen.
Onset. But yeah, I've always been very in touch with my emotions from the time I was very little. Like I just felt things very strongly. And for me growing up, that was both a blessing and a curse. The curse was from authority figures in my life. Emotions were not acceptable. And I was told that in no uncertain terms. I mean, literally told, don't show emotion. It's weakness. You need to toughen up, get strong. And it was always so hard feeling stuff, knowing that it wasn't an acceptable thing to do. So I always felt broken, honestly, with my emotions. I always felt very flawed. I don't know if there's anybody else out there like that, but it made me hate the fact that I felt so much stuff, and I began to equate it with weakness. So I had a hard time. So, but my big breakthrough happened when I was older, and I felt like God said to me, I made you on purpose with purpose. I made you emotional. And so then he took me through this journey of looking at emotions, and God has emotions all through the Bible, right? It says he's an angry God. He's a jealous God. Well, and keep the word angry God in context, not he's a loving God, but he got angry.
Yes.
A way to put that. But he felt his emotions, and God is the only one who can express his emotions, not feel them, but express them in a holy, perfect way. We are not so
lucky.
Perfect, maybe is a way. Yeah. And how we express them. And it's not wrong to have emotions. I just want to talk about that first. Emotions are just indicators of something else deeper in you, right? That you need to process. And emotions aren't moral. They don't like, there's not bad emotions and good emotions. They're just emotions. Emotions aren't always truth tellers, because you can feel something about a situation and that may not be the truth. Like, oh, that person is rejecting me. I feel rejection, but they may not be rejecting me, but that's what I'm feeling. So
right.
It may not inform on the truth of a situation, but it informs on what I'm experiencing internally, that I need to process something.
Right.
So they're very valuable to have, but I just say that from the onset, because like I said, I learned that any kind of emotion was bad. I had to be stoic. I had to always be strong. I could never cry. Like, don't cry. Don't cry. That's weak. And I'm so glad that God just showed me. He made us with emotions, to feel emotions, to experience them. And he's the only one who can express emotion sinlessly and perfectly. Amen. So
let's
getting to all of the subject at hand. So sorry.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a long little trail.
Well, it was good because it kind of set up the next question. So let's talk about it. We said emotions are indicators. So in that example you had shared with us, you're feeling rejected, but that's not necessarily the truth.
Right.
So that could be, as Jen said, that feeling of rejection is an indicator that something probably underneath the surface is wounded, and that's an area where we can heal. So as Jen was talking and she started out, feelings were always a bad thing in my household or with authority figures. So the authority figures in Jen's life rejected her because of her feelings.
Right.
And so now Big Jen is over here still feeling rejected because of the, not necessarily that was an example, but because of the friend that messaged her or whatever, and she felt rejected by. So that wasn't necessarily the friend's fault. That had started at a young age for Jen. So Jen can go back then to where it started and begin to heal those things. Yeah. So she can be a better friend to someone or whatever that looks like.
Or process my day in a very healthy way, or go from one circumstance to another in a healthy way. And to allow myself to feel whatever it is that I'm feeling. Because you honestly, folks, if you try to push down emotion, if you just try to like cram it down, like from trauma or anything, if you just try to cram it down, it comes back. It comes back. The only way you can really resolve emotion is to feel it, to process it, look at it, you know, examine it, what have you. That's the only way. And then you can get to what the underlying truth is. And so like in talking about winter blues.
Yeah.
And feeling that and how you pull yourself out of that, that emotion of feeling very bluesy. You know, I've had to kind of build some strategies to do that and some tools to do that, to kind of get out of feeling those feelings, processing them, but to figure out why I'm feeling so bluesy. So
since I
struggle with, you know, feeling emotions so strongly, I suffer with depression. I'm just going to be real. I suffer with depression, and it can get bad in the wintertime, as it does for a lot of folks, because you suffer from like wintertime blues too, right?
Yeah, nothing, you know, nothing diagnosed that I went to a professional about, you know, in this case, but certainly when the cold weather starts coming in, I'm just not my best self. And so this is just, you know, 41 years of knowing myself, like this happens every year. This is a cycle every single year, where normally I want to stay up till 11 or midnight and get things done, write my book, get things accomplished. And I just want to check out and head to bed because my energy level is like a zero.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, and tools that I've used in the past, as a creative person, a lot of times in the time in the winter, that's when I pick up a paintbrush and I start painting. Painting is something that fills me up. But if you are not a creative person, don't go reaching for a paintbrush, perhaps. Reach for something that fills you up. Maybe it's a long bath with your, you know, great smelling body wash and bath bombs and bubble bath. Maybe it's working outside with tools, whatever that looks like for you. I just know my go-to is being creative, and that's something that fills me up. Maybe in the wintertime, a nice, if this is a gift for you, a nice warm hobby, because I get so stinking cold, even in my house set at 71, I'm just freezing. So sitting on a couch all covered up with a crochet needle and yarn in my lap, creating something is something that just helps pull me out of the funk a bit. So this looks different for everybody, but these are things that if I'm going to be creative, it's most likely going to be in the wintertime. And that helps me a bit. And sometimes I just give in to going to bed early. Right. There is nothing wrong with getting extra sleep, especially if you're in a funk.
Right.
And you're not feeling good. You know, allow the Lord to heal you as you sleep and for your brain to rest. These are always a good thing. Rest is the number one thing. So it's okay to not be your best self. And it's okay to get extra rest, especially in these bluesy times.
Well, people suffer from a lack of sleep anyway, right?
Right.
And that can make your depression even worse. But I like your point of talking about getting back to doing something creative. I think for me, a couple things that really help are two big things. One is aromatherapy. That is the best thing ever. A nice scent, like, tell you what, really, I really, really love, like, a lemon smell, an orange smell. I don't know what that is, but that gives me a lift.
Okay.
I'm not even sure why, but you know, memories can be very closely associated with scent. And so I don't
Yep.
know if it's like I'm thinking of fruit and I associate that with summer or
Amen.
whatever it is, or I mean, so that's just something that helps me. But another thing that really helps me is color. So as a creative, I am so drawn to color, but I think you don't have to be a creative to be energized by color, right?
Yeah.
It's doing stuff like you said, painting, but it could also be putting yourself around color somehow. Just getting that in your system by, you know, looking at color,
Yeah.
whatever
Yep.
that is, a colorful mug, a colorful cup, you know, just whatever it is.
Right.
That sounds really small and trite, but that's really worked for me, surrounding myself with color. And another thing that's really helped me is I have, as an artist, I have an app on my iPad called Procreate, and it is a way to create digital art. And so if
Okay.
I really want color, I can go on there and just go to town and create an image that's very colorful that might give me a lift. So,
Yeah. I love those. And you know, that actually made me think of even things that I could do more of, because the aromatherapy, as I was thinking about that, you know, what smells really do that for me? And two of my favorite smells are sunscreen and their chlorine,
oh, hey.
because
Cool.
hello, big summertime hit there, right?
All right.
So,
Yeah.
and I can even just put myself in, like, as I'm walking into the pool area with my kids and sunscreening them up, and just the feel of the sun on my body and the warmth that I feel, that smell could put me there in that moment. You know, it's like you can almost just feel your mood change, or at least me, because you may be a mountain person, but I'm a beach by the water kind of girl. So as I'm walking to that ocean, and as the sun is just warming me up, and the smell of the sunscreen in the air, I feel at peace and I feel differently. So maybe I need to start putting a little sunscreen on me every day.
Or at least have it handy to smell. I mean,
Yeah.
you know, it, like
Yep.
I said, it your scent, or your sense of smell, I should say, is closely associated with memories, and therefore memories can invoke feelings. So if you're feeling kind of blue, you know,
Sunscreen it is.
scent, some sort of really good scent may work for you.
Yeah.
And you know what, too, I want to say, like, feeling blue is not a bad thing.
Right.
There's lots of instances in the Bible where David was bluesy, and he would write about it, and he would go before God, and he would admit that he would have those. John Piper wrote a really good book on melancholy and how he processes that. He calls depression melancholy, which is a really old word, and I like it, but it sounds better than depression, but I'm just melancholy. It's funny. I sometimes see words and images, and the word melancholy looks like broccoli to me in my head. I don't know why, but
Broccoli. Okay.
yeah. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just the collie part of it, but yeah. Anyway, so that's a whole nother conversation about seeing images rather than words and being able to
Yeah.
taste a word in your head. Yeah, anyway. Whole
Okay.
name. I think it's called synesthesia. I'm probably saying it wrong, but I do have that. So
Okay.
seeing shapes of numbers and things like that. Anyway, oh, wow. Where did I go with that,
You
people? I
just
am
went
so sorry.
down a rabbit hole.
I
It's
totally
okay.
did.
It's okay. But Jen, just, you know, I'm a story girl, and I learn from hearing people's story and situations. Like, it just helps me. So Jen played out a story earlier, and in that moment, I would love for you to take that moment further, how you make those feelings not take your whole day down. So Jen started by saying the example of reject it, regardless if that was a real life situation or moment she's had. I'm sure we've all felt rejected. I think that's, you know, one of the most common feelings that we've all have in common. But what do you do when you just have a moment of feeling rejected instead of giving in like so many of us had and really going down that rabbit hole of like, you're right, I'm nothing. Why do I even bother trying? You know, and letting it ruin our entire day.
Yep.
Because we have at that moment probably believed a lie.
Yep.
Because probably that person wasn't rejecting us. Maybe they were. We would have to have that conversation. But most likely they weren't. Most likely it was something that has been hurt in us from a very long time ago. So what does that look like, Jen? You feel rejected in that situation by a friend. How do we process that? How do we get out of that funk? Do you have any sort of tips that you do as my strong feeling girl so it doesn't take down your entire day?
Yeah, and this was something I just really had to learn and practice.
Yeah.
So this was certainly not easy in the beginning. I used to totally take my feelings as truth, like that it was informing a situation, yeah. Not informing me of myself, but informing the situation. And I would always react rather than respond, because when you react, you don't think. And when you respond, you are thinking through what you're going to do in your next steps. And it's a little more logical. So what I had to do is when I felt like a friend was rejecting me, literally had to step back from it and ask myself some questions. What am I feeling? Okay, I'm feeling rejected. Admitting that I feel rejected. Second thing I had to look at was to say of the other person, as I'm processing this feeling, they're doing the best they can. And they may not be rejecting me. And I may not be, this will sound really bizarre to say, but I may not be all that important to them to that degree of like to go through the effort of rejecting me. Do you know what I mean? Like, not that I'm not important, but it's not that big for them. So
yeah, let me phrase that a little bit differently. Maybe
please do, because you know what I'm trying to say. So.
Right. Maybe because I tend to hear people do this. Maybe at that moment, it's just not even all about you. They have 100 different things going on.
That's exactly it.
Yes.
And they're doing the best they can. So Brené Brown said that one time, and that radically changed my view of a lot of people and how I interact with them. Not that I don't feel the feelings, but just in where I start with them. And she said, if you approach everyone with the premise of everyone is doing the best they can, it takes a lot of judgment of them off of you.
Yeah.
You aren't then saying, well, they're just being mean, or they're, you know, they should have known better, or a million things. Like, everybody is doing the best they can. And I'm not saying that there aren't people that aren't trying to be vicious to other people, because of course that happens, but just in general, people are doing the best they can. So that was the second thing I would ask myself. So, and then when I would process the feelings of rejection, I realized what rejection does for me is it's informing me about myself and how I see myself. Because for me, rejection gets down to a deeper question of, I'm not worthy. I'm not worth anything. If I was better, people wouldn't reject me. A million things about my identity. And so then the cure to that is, who does God say that I am, right? God says that I am written on the palm of his hand, that I am completely accepted in him, that nothing can remove me from his grip. He has a hold of me firmly. I'm not going to accidentally fall out of his hand. Like it says, he has us. We're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
That I'm worth it. I am his beloved daughter. He desires relationship with me. So when I start looking at myself that way, it lessens those feelings of rejection.
Yeah. And so Yeah. And so I would like to break it down just kind of what I heard from what you were saying. So number one, when Jen is feeling an emotion that could possibly be a lie and causing her whole day to be destroyed. So number one, she looks at what that emotion is. She says, okay, I'm feeling rejected. And she validates that she's feeling rejected. So that would be the first thing she does. And then the second thing that she did is she said that she identifies that the person is probably doing the best that they can. And right. So she looks at the situation. Was this a vicious act? Or was this person doing the best she can? And usually she comes to a conclusion that yes, this person is in fact doing the best that they can. This is not about me.
Right.
Thirdly, last, she goes into what is this rejection saying about the healing part of it? What is this rejection saying about me? And so in previous, this rejection's maybe saying about Jen that she's unworthy, she is broken, she is whatever the feeling or whatever speaking to her identity. And then she can take that, what she was feeling, and kind of process it through and ask God, or she has already asked God and she already knows that what God says about her.
Mm-hmm.
So then she can start speaking the truth, because God's word is the truth. So she can start saying, you know, I'm God's beloved daughter. Jen, always knowing her as my friend, talks about he has me in the palm of her hand. That's a big one for Jen. You'll often hear her saying that. So she can know that truth through and through because it's so personal. Yep. I never say that the Lord has me in the palm of his hand. Does he? Yes, that's the truth. But it's personal for Jen. So Jen can stand on that truth because he has spoken that to her,
yeah.
And that can lift her whole day, and she can walk securely and confidently in who she is because now she knows the real truth.
Right.
So that was a great way to walk that through a scenario, because real life scenarios just help, because it's like, you know, we get so Christianese, like, we're just believing a lie.
Right.
Like, what lie you believe in? And things like that. Yes. Yes. Jen, in that moment, was absolutely believing a lie.
Right.
That
right.
She is not unworthy. She is not broken. She is not those things. But to her, that was very much the truth. So it hurt because there was things in her that have been hurt in the past.
Right.
So she had to feel it and she had to work it through God. And if she just stopped on the feeling part of it, her whole day, I mean, that thing alone could take her down for months.
Yep. Yep.
If she did not process it through, if she was left right there.
And it would potentially damage a relationship. And the other person is
absolutely
like, what in the world? I didn't mean that. And, you know, you can have conversations with people where you can express how you're feeling about something. And I think that's always good. But before you even do that, there's a thing called a peace pursuit. And we should have a whole different conversation about that, about how to resolve conflict with people. But one of the things it says before you even really talk about someone about how you're feeling is process it with God first. Like, really
yes.
Dig in with God and figure out what's going on. Because again, a feeling does not inform about a situation.
Right.
It informs about how I'm experiencing the situation. And then you have to get into the roots of why. So not that, again, like you said, not that people can't be vicious, because they can, and there are people
right.
that do that deliberately, but just in general, people are not out to get me. I'm not
right.
that paranoid. They're not out to reject me, but do I feel rejection at times? Yes. Do I
right.
feel really blue at times? Yes.
Yes.
It's okay to feel those feelings. It's okay to have them. Again, it's not moral, but you do need to process it. You can't not process it. You know, you really have to take care of you. Self-care, I think, really starts with self-acceptance and
yes.
and getting to know yourself and know that it's okay that I have emotions. It's okay that I want to go to bed early because I'm feeling so drained because it's so cold, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I think we need to have more self-compassion for ourselves.
Right.
Than we tend to do, because we judge ourselves so harshly for so many things.
Yes.
And that's not what God wants us to do.
Right. You know?
He wants us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So we got to learn to love ourselves. Like,
absolutely. Condemnation has a success rate of about 0%. You know, so it just doesn't help. Like last night, I had a million things I wanted to do yesterday. And my daughter stayed home from school sick. So that just right away, I had to take her to the doctor. That just changed my entire day. And that happens as a mom, right? But my energy level was at a zero when it came to the evening time when I could get things done. And I went to bed calling myself just a lazy turd. Like, that's how I went to bed. I was just feeling lazy and like I had a million things to do, but you know, I just don't have the energy to do it. I was being lazy. And although I was being lazy and choosing that, I was also taking care of myself. And
that's
so
right.
Naming myself an identity of lazy, that doesn't help me wake up and say, yes, I'm ready to tackle the world.
Right. Well, and lazy is a judgment on yourself, right? It's and instead, what was it really? You were tired.
Yes.
You were absolutely taking care of yourself, right?
Right.
Dr. Carolyn Leaf had a big thing on what to say to yourself instead of I wasted a day or I didn't get stuff done. It was really great. I posted it on my Instagram, and if I can find the link, I'll put it in the show notes, but it was just how to talk to yourself with a little more compassion and a little less judgment, right?
Yes. Yes. And speaking of show notes, as some of you already may know, we do have a Facebook page now. So if you are not following us on Facebook, you can find us Plans, Hope, and a Future. And we can also add things like to that page that we talked about during this podcast, a previous podcast, or maybe if there's visuals or things like that, pictures we can add in. You can look for it there, and we will try to be good about updating that page. And and we would love to have conversations with you there as well. So
yes,
again, our big ask is always, what do you want to hear from us? So we are leaving you with that again today. Thank you, Gina, for reaching out to us and giving us the topic.
Woo-hoo!
What do you want to hear from us? Let Jen and I know, because we are going to pray every time before our podcast, like
we
do today.
Yep, like we do every time.
And the Lord highlighted one of the things Gina had reached out to us about. So who knows? That may be a topic you want to hear more about, and Jen and I would love to talk about it.
Absolutely. And also, a little quick caveat, if you are hearing a weird sort of low grinding noise in the background of the audio, I have a new dog and I keep throwing the dog out of the room with her bone. And so she is chewing this bone and I hear it pretty loudly.
I do not hear Jen.
Good, good. If you hear that, I was so worried about that. It's like, ooh, that's not going to make for good audio. So if you have really great ears and you hear it, I'm very sorry. If you don't, then praise the Lord.
Just the dog and her bone.
I'm telling you, and I just, as a funny side note, if you guys could watch the video of this, I was muting it every few minutes. Well, not few minutes, but I've muted it at least twice where I've jumped up out of my seat and I've thrown the bone in the other room. The dog go chases it. I come back, I unmute, and then she comes right back in with it. So,
oh my gosh.
It's the funniest thing.
Yeah. Too bad we didn't capture a picture before we started of the dog chewing up one of Jen's neck rests. The doggy looked pretty disappointed in herself as well.
So. The dog was repentant only after I told her how, like, no, that's bad. Doing that is not good.
We have to remember to capture pictures like this because I think that's funny.
I had blue rubber material all over my bedroom floor, all over the study floor in here. Just like, she was really proud of herself.
Yeah.
New puppy. Well, she's not a puppy. She's two, but she acts like a puppy. And but she's
giant puppy. 60-pound giant puppy.
Yes, she is. She's a good girl, but yeah, she had the need to chew. So anyway, yes. Boy, that was another weird rabbit hole. What are we doing today, girl?
Well, it was good because things like this we could put on our Facebook page so you guys could get to know our quirky, funny personalities even a little bit better. So
that's true.
It's the real.
And one more thing, if you are interested in us coming to speak to your small group or anything like that, we are way open to doing that. I'd love to have Q&A and just talk about topics and things that, you know, about friendship and emotions and healing from traumas. I mean, Tiffany and I have knee-deep experience of a lot of those subjects. So we would love to come and speak if you are interested. Just shoot an email to the email in the show notes or post a message on Facebook on our page. So anyway.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. It was awesome. So until next time, folks.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.